Greetings, listeners and friends of the ROTC. This is VK3OTN, the station of the Radio Amateurs Old Timers Club of Australia, saying welcome to this broadcast for December 2019. I am Bruce, VK3UV, and on behalf of the ROTC President Committee, I would like to wish all of our listeners a very Merry Christmas, and trust that your New Year's resolutions include the acquisitions of more radio equipment. And I'd like to thank all of our volunteers who have helped with the relaying of this broadcast, and I especially thank the various groups in VK6 and VK7 which utilise HF and VHF most effectively, and also to the committee and members of EMDRC for permission to use VK3REC for the relay of our monthly broadcasts in the Melbourne area. Today we are starting transmissions Australia-wide VKDMR network on Talk Group 5. Further live tests will be carried out over the next few weeks. This broadcast is relayed on a number of frequencies on the first Monday of the month, except for January. The transmissions emanate from many different sources, and the actual times and frequencies may be found on our website www.rotc.org.au. However, as a reminder, this broadcast will be retransmitted at 8 p.m. Melbourne time on the VK3REC repeater, and at 8:30 p.m. on 3.650 MHz from Melbourne, and also by Tony VK7AX via a video stream. Please refer to our website for the streaming details. Due to low responses, we are now discontinuing the afternoon 40-metre broadcast. The morning primary HF broadcast originate from Melbourne on 160, 40 and 20 metres, and has been the practice since these broadcasts started. But with the current HF poor conditions and sometimes a lack of volunteers, the HF system has been a challenge to say the least. We invite local club repeater operators to relay this broadcast to your local provincial areas. If you can assist with this request, please contact me via our website www.rotc.org.au. To assist listeners to gain access to this broadcast at a time more suitable to themselves, this audio file will be uploaded to our website on the day prior to the live-to-air broadcasts. Club news. We welcome several new members this month, and we extend a hearty welcome to Graham Hassel, VK4PMM, previous call signs VK4SZX and VK4HZX, and he became a new ROTC Associate Member number 1773 on the 2nd of October 2019. And also welcome Peter Belknobs, VK2CZX, previous call VK2PJG, and he became ROTC full member number 1773 on the 16th of October 2019. And also on the same date, we welcome Gary Bray, VK4GRB, previous call sign VK4TGB, and he became new ROTC Associate Member number 1775. Now, regretfully, we have notice of a silent key, and we have been advised that Bob Sutherland, VK6ABS, ROTC Life Member number 1483, became a silent key on the 22nd of August 2019. We now pause for a few moments in memory of our departed colleague. Thank you. Now, here is the RAOTC committee report. On Thursday, the 21st of November, the quarterly RAOCT committee meeting was held. There was a full agenda and reports from the various subcommittees were submitted and approved. Our Treasurer, Mike Good, VK3BDL, reported another successful year financially and that no increase in membership fees would be required. Mike's final report will be published in the next issue of OTN, which is due out in March 2020. Bill Roper, VK3BR, the OTN editor and membership secretary, reported that he has sufficient prepared material for the next issue of OTN, but also noted that he would like more original material from members. Our membership is slipping slightly due to natural attrition, and at the last count, there were 481 current members of the RAOTC. It is prudent to remind members that if you are not yet a member of the RAOTC, then annual subs are quite modest at only $18 per year. Please check our website to download the membership form and for further information. The 2019 Stuart Day Award was voted on, and we now congratulate Herman Willemsen, VK2IXV, who is a prolific author for OTN, and he has produced numerous articles on a wide range of subjects. Notwithstanding Herman's award, special mention was also made to Clive Wallace, VK6CSW, and Lloyd Butler, VK5BR, for their continuous and ongoing support. The future of these broadcasts was also discussed, and I am pleased to advise that we have elected to continue the production of these monthly broadcasts, and also to take into consideration the varying HF conditions at the present time. It was also noted that we may not have a volunteer to handle the 20 and 40 metre relays at any given time. So if you cannot hear it on HF or via your usual VHF repeater, then don't forget that it can be downloaded from our website at your convenience. This month we start our first transmission on DMR, Digital Mobile Radio. It is experimental at this stage and will be transmitted on VKDMR Talk Group 5 at 1100 hours VK3 time. Further test transmissions will be made during the next few weeks. This is VK3OTN, the station of the Radio Amateurs Old Timers Club of Australia. We now have a request for information, and this request comes from Peter Wolfenden, VK3 Romeo Victor, VK3RV, and he is the WIA historian and also life member of the RAOTC. And Peter is seeking information about a very early Melbourne wireless experimenter, Francis West Chambers, who apparently worked as the chief electrician with the Victorian Public Works Department. There is very limited information about him and his wireless activities, and one document has him listed as Mr. Chambers of the Melbourne Electricity Supply Company. The difference in occupation could be due to timing of documents and articles and his employment. However, we do know that Chambers collaborated with H.W. Genvey in early wireless telegraphy experiments from about 1898. This was after George W. Selby, perhaps the first wireless experimenter in Victoria, encouraged him to pursue the subject. In November 1900, Chambers, located at his home in Heidelberg, transmitted to Genvey, who was at the Doncaster Water Tower, where he had his receiver temporarily set up. This was a one-way transmission over a distance of about 7.5 kilometres. A few months later, Genvey made his historical and widely reported two-way communications with the HMS St. George, an escort ship to the Royal Yacht Ophir, which was conveying the Duke of York, the future king, to and from the Australian Federation celebrations in Melbourne. We also know that Chambers wrote to many Australian experimenters, not just those based in Melbourne, seeking information about their early spark work pre-World War I. Copies of some of his letters are in the WIA archive and clearly state that during the 1950s he was working on a publication under the name of Saga of Australian Wireless, or A Chronicle of Australian Wireless. Unfortunately, it appears that the manuscript was never completed or has been lost. So, in trying to pick up at least some of the threads, I am seeking any information about Francis Chambers of Heidelberg, Melbourne. If you know of a rambling, unpublished document about those pre-World War I days, making mention of experimenters from a number of Australian states, I would like to hear from you. Any information would be greatly appreciated. And if you have any information, you can send them to Peter Wolfenden, VK3RV. Contact details, email details are vk3rv@wia.org.au. That's VK3 Romeo Victor at wia.org.au. Here is some current news from the ARRL, and kindly supplied to us by John Cheeseman, VK3XM. W1AW, to commemorate the 98th anniversary of the first amateur radio signals to span the Atlantic. December the 11th marks the 98th anniversary of the success of ARRL's transatlantic tests in 1921. Organised to see if low-power amateur radio stations could be heard across the Atlantic using shortwave frequencies, that is, above 200 metres. On that day, a message transmitted by a group of Radio Club of America members at 1BCG in Greenwich, Connecticut, was copied by Paul Godley, 2ZE, in Scotland. While the first two-way contact would not take place until 1923, the 1921 transatlantic success marked the beginning of what would become routine communication between US radio amateurs and those in other parts of the world, the birth of DX. To commemorate this amateur radio milestone, Maxim Memorial Station W1AW will be on the air through the day on December the 11th with volunteer operators. The goal is to encourage contact between radio amateurs in the US and Europe while showcasing the significance of the transmissions that pioneered global communication and laid the groundwork for technology used widely today. The event will run from 1300 hours until 0 hours UTC. Some details are still being worked out, but operation will focus on 40 and 20 metres. The author of The Secret Wireless War, Geoffrey Pigeon, recently became the 6,000th veteran to receive the French Legion of Honour. Through his undercover work in British intelligence, Pigeon, now 93, played a pivotal role in the D-Day landings. His book, which recounts the important role of the Communications Division of Britain's Secret Intelligence Service, the SIS, during World War II, has long been a favourite among hams. There never was, in the whole history of wireless, a bigger role for the amateur wireless enthusiast, said Pigeon. This is an extraordinary story that includes hams among those patriots that undoubtedly helped the Allied war effort. Pidgeon said he was somewhat overwhelmed by the turnout of the award presentation by French Ambassador to the UK, Catherine Colonna. UK Defence Secretary Ben Wallace also attended. The event attracted news media as well. Reports included one from Forces TV. Pidgeon also was interviewed by London's The Sunday Times. The Secret Wireless War offers a history of the SIS, its growing use of wireless in the 1930s, its involvement in the dissemination of wireless of Enigma, that is the ultra intelligence, and a whole range of secret users of wireless as part of the successful prosecution of the war. The book documents the personal tales of those who were part of this most secret of units, and events that helped to win the war. Secret agents abroad, wireless operators handling ultra and agents traffic, wireless engineers, interceptors and administrators, the story of Churchill's personal radio wireless operator, a fleet of 70-plus Packard motor cars and converted Dodge ambulances used as mobile wireless stations, and hams listening to the German Secret Service and the Gestapo. Pidgeon's memoir of his days in MI6 communications during World War II. This is VK3OTN, the station of the Radio Amateurs Old Timers Club of Australia. We start this month's articles with some of our archive material, and as we are closing one decade and starting a new decade, I have selected some interesting items which were published almost 30 years ago. There is a forgotten wealth of articles and information in our old OTNs, and the entire set is available on CD. Please refer to our website www.raotc.org.au for information on OTN on discs. Here is an edited version of the President's Report from OTN No. 6. I approach this task with some trepidation. Since being appointed as your President, I have looked back on the names of my predecessors and realised that I am now, with as far as I can see little justification, included in an exalted group, and must thank one and all for the honour. By the nature of our club, it is inevitable that we will lose a number of members every year, and this past year has been no exception. We convey our sympathies to the families of those we have lost. At the start of this new decade, it is right that we should also be looking to what the future holds for the RAOTC. We are now looking to those who gained their qualifications in 1994 to enter our ranks as a full member, and for those in 2009 as an associate member. But will they do so? As near as I can recall, new licensees were not very numerous about that time. The first flood of limited licensees had eased, and black boxes were coming into their own. For some, the first flushes of enthusiasm were abating, and many call signs which were heard then disappeared, although the owners thereof are still around. Many of these people must be approaching retiring age, and the opportunity should be taken to rekindle the interest as a retirement pastime. Hopefully, we can succeed in attracting them to our ranks, thus ensuring a continuity of younger, comparatively speaking, personnel to carry us through to the next decade. Is there any other way we can attract additional members? keeping in mind our limited finances and the fact that we'd rely on volunteers to keep us operative. Can you suggest any activity we can undertake to increase the interest in the RAOTC? Your committee will be delighted to hear from you. And that was from OTN number 6 of February 1990. We have our first little talk today, and it was first published in our OTN magazine number 6 of February 1990. And it was written by Richard Wilson and is headed the Orpheus Radio Museum of Ballarat, Victoria. The Orpheus Radio Museum was opened in July 1987 as a tourist attraction in Ballarat. It features a range of gramophones and a range of early broadcast receivers through to receivers of the 50s and the early 80s to the end of the valve era. Other items of interest include radio station 3BA's original transmitter, built in 1930. Collections of gramophone records, gramophone needle tins, microphones, valves, recording equipment and Kodak cameras. The Radio Museum is dedicated to the memory of my grandfather, Warren A. Wilson, MIRE, VK3WA. Warren was born in 1900 and he became interested in radio at the age of 13. Because of the lack of opportunities in radio, he did an apprenticeship as an amateur winder and moved to Ballarat in about 1921. In 1922, he got an experimental license and became active as A3RY. The July the 25th, 1925 listener in described A3RY as one of the most active amateur transmitters in Victoria. Professionally, he was employed as manager of Ballarat Lister Inn, one of Ballarat's first radio shops. In 1927, he started his own business manufacturing and marketing radio sets under the name of Orpheus Radio, with most of his sales being concentrated in Ballarat and district. This is VK3OTN, the station of the Radio Amateurs Old Timers Club of Australia. In 1929, Warren and a very young Alf Kerr, VK3JQ, got together and applied for a licence to operate a Class B radio station. On July the 31st, 1930, Radio Station 3BA was opened. Warren and Alf, having built all of the equipment from the Reese-type carbon microphones, built into solid marble blocks to the 50-watt transmitter. The original microphone and transmitter are on display in the museum. And I must point out here that unfortunately the museum has been closed. Through the 1930s, Warren, now VK3WA, remained very active on the amateur bands. He also completed a course with the Marconi School of Wireless and was admitted to the Institute of Radio Engineers of Australia. He was very keen in the area of experimenting and inventing. In 1930, he received, at his amateur station in Ballarat, some of the first radio facsimile pictures broadcast by the television and radio laboratories of Melbourne over radio 3UZ and 3DB. In 1933, he invented and patented a metal detector for tracing underground water and gas pipes, which he manufactured and sold to the water boards and gas companies. Warren also started Warren Wilson Amplifiers, an indoor-outdoor public address system, sales and hire service, building much of his own equipment, and still under the Orpheus brand. In 1938, he was commissioned by the Ballarat City Council to produce a colour movie feature on the 1938 Ballarat Floral Festival, which still survives today. When war broke out in 1939 and radio amateurs were ordered to cease operation and dismantle their equipment, he got permission to convert the modulator from his transmitter to a public address amplifier. After the war, he never returned to the air. He did, however, stay in the industry with his PA business, and later added record cutting and recording to his many interests. Warren A. Wilson, MIRE, BK3WA, died in 1981, aged 80. Today, I operate an electronics manufacturing business behind the museum. We are using the latest computer-aided manufacturing equipment, including robots, and employ about 20 people. It is a challenging time for the small electronics manufacturing industry in Australia, and you might say that there is great interest between electronic manufacturing and operating a radio museum. But as I write this, I feel a great affinity with my grandfather, and I'm proud to be able to preserve and present a little bit of Australia's radio history. But now we come to the end of this month's broadcast, and it has been a long-standing practice of these broadcasts to finish off with something humorous. And I apologise for not including a joke in last month's broadcast, but we were running very close to our time limit. So here is today's offering. After the honeymoon, Stuart was working DX in his ham radio shack. His new wife was standing there at the door watching him. After a long period of silence, she finally said,
"Honey, I've just been thinking. Now that we are married, maybe you don't need to spend so much of your time out here in your radio shack. And you could consider selling some of your radio gear and stuff, you know, like the antenna farm, the field equipment, and lose all those stupid wire and aluminium antenna things."
Stuart got a horrified look on his face and silently stared at her. She said,
"Darling, what's wrong?"
He replied, "Nothing. But for a minute there, you were starting to sound like my ex-wife."
"Ex-wife?"
she screamed.
"You never told me you were married before."
Stuart replied, "I wasn't." Thank you for listening. This now concludes our session for this month. And all being well, we shall be back with you on Monday, the 3rd of February, 2020. And remember that your radio has a push-to-talk button. Please use it. You might be surprised to receive a response. This is VK3OTN, the station of the Radio Amateurs Old Timers Club of Australia, saying 73 and listing now for any check-ins and callbacks. However, your relay operator may or may not be able to take a callback, in which case, please send any reports to RAOTC at raotc.org.au. Thank you.